Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, is Dak Prescott to blame for the Cowboys' offensive woes? Plus, Rob Parker explains why the Jaguars will flatten Brady and the Pats on Sunday. And does Baker Mayfield have the potential to be the next Drew Brees? Skip Shannon, let's go.
Dak Prescott was pretty bad in Sunday's loss to the Panthers. Sorry, Skip. He didn't throw a touchdown pass, and Dallas didn't score until the fourth quarter. MMQB's Jonathan Jones pointed the finger at Dak and wrote yesterday, quote, "The question isn't whether Prescott has enough around him, but rather, can he get the ball to the guys he has?" And he pointed out a number of throws that Dak missed. We're joined by Fox NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Thank you for joining us today. Does Dak deserve the blame?
Does he deserve the lion's share of the blame or all the blame? It's never just Dak's fault. So, no, he doesn't deserve 100% of the blame. But they are right. He was bad. But you could start from the very first play of the game where they don't recognize up front what the Carolina Panthers are doing, and they completely miss an assignment. And you start off right off the bat, second down and 10, because you don't know how to block people. I mean, there's an old saying in football, you can be fast and dumb, but you can't be slow and dumb, right?
Exactly.
You slow and dumb gets you fired. Fast and dumb, we can find a place for you.
Yeah.
They were horrible up front. They didn't block anybody. Therefore, the Carolina Panthers did not have to respect the play action. They didn't break man coverage. What did Mike Shanahan used to say to us all the time about, if you can't beat man coverage, what are you going to be doing?
You're coaching or selling cars.
Yep.
My coaching staff is filled and John Elway's not hiring.
Right.
You're without a job, right. Bayless.
So like they were not beating man coverage. I can't remember, and I went back and watched the entirety of their offensive snaps last night because I knew that this was coming up. I remember one broken tackle. No yards after first contact. And now ultimately here, Dak Prescott missed a couple of wide open guys that could have been big plays and could have flipped the script on this game. So that's his fault. The other thing, I thought Dak Prescott was seeing ghosts. I thought there were plenty of times when he dropped back and he saw ghosts and that internal clock on his head said, I got to throw the ball or I got to start to scramble. And there was not pressure. Mm. So that happened several times. So I will give him the lion's share of the blame, but it started from the very first play of the game where you don't know how to block things. And you give up. You put yourself in a second and 10. You put yourself behind the chains on a consistent basis because you didn't get it done.
Tell me when it's my turn.
You want to go?
No,
you go
I'm
right now.
I'm going to let you go.
You
ex-teammates got to team up.
No.
Team up.
Are
go
you
ahead.
Sure?
Pile on. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer. There's no such thing as all or every. So I'm not going to give all the blame. I'm not going to every time something went wrong, it was Dak's fault. But he deserves a lot of the blame, Skip Bayless, because, again, he missed some throws. Mm-hmm. That throw to the tight end could have been a difference in the ball game.
He could still be running if he had just chosen to run.
Yeah.
He might still be running. He might run all the way to Miami.
No. You know? But anyway, there was a third down play. Mm-hmm. The guy runs the route. He sits down. Dak throws the ball. 10 feet behind him. The thing, and here's what Dak said early in the year. We talked about number one receivers. Dak said, this is what Dak Prescott said in May. I don't know if any team in the league necessarily needs a number one receiver. It's all about getting the ball out, spreading the ball around, and keeping defense on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you why you can't keep defense on your toes, because they don't respect you.
Mm.
They respect Zeke Elliott.
Okay.
And that's the only playmaker that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And teams are saying, we're going to take the one playmaker you have away, and we're going to see what you're going to do with these other guys that probably should be selling cars or coaching. And right now what we've been able to see, Skip Bayless, is that we haven't been able to see Dak Prescott on a consistent basis do what he needs to do, which is move the ball up and down the field, throwing it. Now, we know when 2-1 is running the ball down, people throw what he's capable of doing. But when they take that away, what do you have left?
My turn?
Oh,
thank you very much. Yeah. So I love this over the top, over the edge, overreaction to game number one at Carolina. After Dak Prescott had been off, not played one lick of football for 3 weeks and a day with all new receivers. Whose idea was that? Was it Jason Garrett's?
You know it was
your ex-college teammate, Scott Linehan? Who did that? Was it Jerry Jones' idea? And by the way, Ezekiel Elliott hadn't played a football game for 252 days. And I kept hearing how sleek and explosive he was in camp. He didn't look very sleek to me. He looked like he hadn't done much of anything, like he needed to play his way into shape. And that's the wrong place, wrong time, because I predicted on Friday, because I, silly me, I just watch TV, I don't watch coaches tape, but I watched every snap of preseason game number 3, the dress rehearsal game, New England at Carolina. Tom Brady played the whole first half. Tom Brady had a hellacious hard time in that game. He couldn't do much of anything. He barely threw for 100 yards. They managed 3 points against that defense at Carolina, while Cam played the first half and managed 9 points. It was 9-3 Carolina at halftime. So here comes Dallas with all new receivers and no Travis Frederick at center. He's one of the top 3 centers in pro football. Left guard is manned by one Connor Williams, a rookie second-round pick. Every time I watch him, again, I just watch TV, he is getting manhandled by somebody. He is over his head, overmatched, especially by Kawan Short down there. That defense, that front seven, is rock solid. It is fierce. It can fly to the football, led by your guy, Luke Kuechly. And I knew my guys were going to have a hard time, A, running the football, and B, getting open, because Tom Brady's guys had a hard time running or getting open. So what happened as they slowly shook the rust off in the second half? They started to play. So they had 172 total yards in the second half, and Dak started completing some balls to Cole Beasley. Hit him 7 times for 73 yards. Carolina in the second half had a grand total of 84 yards. So it was 172 to 84 in yards in the second half. My guys looked like they had a chance to win the football game.
Never did. Never.
But who was second most targeted receiver on opening day? Somebody named Deontay Thompson, who played a grand total of like 10 snaps in the preseason because he had an Achilles injury. They cut him on the last cut. He fell all the way through waivers, and they re-signed him. So he had 0 targets in the preseason. He had 5 targets in game number 1. How do you explain that? Dak Prescott had never completed a pass in a preseason game to Deontay Thompson, and he throws 5 to him, including 4th and 10 from the Panthers 48 with 2:18 left when there it's still a 1-score game. He throws it to Deontay Thompson. He got sacked 6 times. He was on his heels the whole game because they couldn't block anybody. And I told Shannon yesterday, my biggest fear about this team is that the offensive line is just flat out overrated. I'm not sure about Zach Martin. I'm not sure about Tyron Smith, because every time over the last 6 games last year and this game this year that I watch them closely, I don't see them winning the line of scrimmage anymore.
No, well, they certainly didn't win the line of scrimmage in this game.
Nope.
But I will tell you this, you know, you keep talking about how they didn't play and how these guys don't have a rhythm. That's whose fault is that? Like, if you know that's your situation, then why would you not play your guy? Like, are you so afraid of getting hurt that you're just not going to play guys? So, I mean, the preseason is interesting to me because you have a chance to roll out. If you are together, if you're tied together, you have a chance in this league to roll out, because a lot of teams do exactly what Dallas did. They don't play their guys. So you have a chance to roll out the first 3 games.
Football teams, right?
A chance to roll out in the first 3 games and steal 3 games, be 3-0 right off the bat. Mm-hmm. But you've chosen to take this young team and a young quarterback and a young running back who was suspended last year and a brand new receiving corps, and we're not going to play you.
We're not going to play. Like, really?
Then
you're
going to
throw
them
into the fire against that defense and that stadium?
That's your
fault.
Good
luck.
You know what I love? I love what Skip Bayless talking about. They had 172 yards.
They did.
In the second half. Yeah.
You know what you get for winning the second half? Yeah. You get nothing. You get a loss.
But what he didn't tell you is that they had 75 yards on 1 drive. Mm. On the all other possessions,
you know,
they
what?
Had 97.
Kind of looked like the good old days on that drive, didn't it? Against a really good defense.
But you tell Skip how hard it is that when a team knows that you can't run the football and all you have to do is pass it.
You know who the second best runner on the football team is? It's the quarterback. Did he get any plays called for him? Finally, on the 75-yard drive.
At the very end, on the touchdown drive, they ran two kind of collegiate plays.
That one
they
was just a pitch play.
Right, you know, one was an option play, and one was a zone read. You know?
I mean, okay.
And he scrambled for a first down, Skip Bayless. So don't make it seem like.
No. I don't know. Your man, Scott Linehan, I got to see a little more creativity. I got to see don't abandon the run in the first quarter at Carolina because that's your guy.
It's hard to have creativity and hard to execute when you're not allowed to play in the preseason. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Who made that call? I guarantee it wasn't Scott Linehan. Scott Linehan didn't come out and go, hey, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to play our young players and our brand new receiving core and our young quarterback. We're not going to do that.
And Tyron Smith is not going to play. Who is that, Skip?
Okay.
Your guy needs repetitions.
Tom Brady can sit out. You know what? They actually did okay in the first game, given all that we just talked about.
No, they didn't do okay.
Okay.
So I guess they should just bench Dak and put Cooper Rush in.
Whoa,
you like Cooper Rush?
Whoa.
Who's Cooper Rush?
You keep telling us he's that guy.
We're not getting a moral victory. You're not going to get a moral victory on this one.
I want to warn both of you that you should get your gloating in now because starting Monday, it's going to be over. No. But go ahead. I don't care.
All year.
Get it out of your system.
All year.
Because that seat's going to start getting hotter and hotter. Not Monday like, after Monday, you have to keep coming in here and saying,
Skip, has it dawned on you that maybe the Cowboys are not going to be as good as you thought they were?
Hashtag wrong again. That's
the
sure.
Oh,
is
hashtag?
And see, could it possibly be the best that we'll ever see Dak was his rookie year? Oof. Is that possible?
Oh, well, wait. He plummeted to fourth in the NFL in QBR his second
year. Are you saying he was the fourth best quarterback last year?
He had the fourth best stat.
Come on.
Did he outplay Aaron Rodgers last year? Yeah,
Aaron
Rodgers was injured.
He was totally fine.
You lost.
Mark, thank you for being here. Good to get your take on this. This whole 3v1 thing.
Right.
I kind of like it. No mercy. So the Patriots are a slight favorite on the road in Jacksonville Sunday, and they come limping into the game. Limping. New England is hurting in the backfield after Jeremy Hill's torn ACL, Rex Burkhead's concussion. Right now, they have just two healthy backs. They've also signed a couple of wide receivers this week, Corey Coleman, Benny Fowler, to help Tom Brady. We are joined by Rob Parker. Mm. Always fun when you're with us.
He's already chortling and cackling because he's so excited for this topic.
You know, I couldn't wait to get out here. Bye.
He came running out here to tell us what he thinks about the game. Okay, Sunday, who you got?
You know the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win this game. Skip, you've seen the needle move already, right? Patriots started out, what were they, -3?
Yeah.
Down to -1, because everybody sees what's happening. The Patriots
that can be
are
a bad sign.
Patriots are a mass unit. Mm-hmm. You got to admit that. Still no Edelman. They're bringing in new receivers. Mm-hmm. I know you say Tom Brady can bring three guys out of Dunkin' Donuts and make them Pro Bowlers or all that.
I like Dunkin' Donuts.
You know, not bad, right?
Yeah.
No sprinkles on my donuts, though, without sprinkles. Okay. But the problem is this Jacksonville defense isn't your ordinary defense, and they're back to what they were doing a year ago. Don't forget, Skip, they had Tom Brady, held them to 10 points through the first three quarters in Foxborough. Bartles couldn't get a big first down. The defense had to stay on the field. And what happened, Shannon? They gave it up, warmed down, and they gave it up at the end. Mm-hmm. But they were in that game. They were poised to win that game had they been able to do that. I actually listened to the Jaguars-Giants game on the radio on Sunday.
There's this thing called television.
No, but I was driving, and I was interested. Yeah. You know, with Saquon Barkley, they said, they gave Eli all these weapons now. Odell Beckham's back. He's happy. Money. He had 100 yards. Saquon Barkley had the big run to push him over 100 yards. So you think Giants are in business, right? One touchdown. Eli, he averaged 6 yards per attempt against Jacksonville. No touchdowns. So it's going to be a long day at the office for Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Jaguars with a 14-point win over New England.
Really?
And this is going to be redemption for a year ago. And don't forget, I'm going to give you an early taste.
Okay.
Jaguars-Jets AFC Championship game.
Really?
We're going.
I got to process
picture.
That.
I just need to know. One of us, am I high or is he high?
I don't know.
Because I could have swore you said Jags and Jets in the AFC Championship game. I'm going to take the pass in a close ball game. I do think Jalen Ramsey would do a very good job on Rob Gronkowski. But I don't trust Blake Bortles. And Blake Bortles against the Patriots defense, the defense that I saw, I give you this, Skip. They couldn't be any worse than what they were the last time we saw them in a meaningful ball game, which is the Super Bowl, giving up over 400 yards, 41 points. But Blake Bortles didn't do a whole lot. He didn't do much better than Eli did. It was the pick six that was the difference in the ball game. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots defense, what they were able to do, what they were able to do opening against the Houston Texans, they got after them. I hadn't seen the Patriots rush the quarterback like this. I haven't seen them fly around. They're always fundamentally sound. Mm-hmm. You're not going to catch them out of position too often. But the way they were flying around to the football, the way they were putting pressure on Deshaun Watson, I don't trust Blake Bortles. So given that, the defense of the Jags against Tom Brady, okay. maybe you say that's a push. But the Patriots defense against Blake Bortles, I favor the Patriots, defense. So I'm going to go, I'm going to say 2013.
So they cover.
Patriots by seven.
They're
favored. So
right.
Okay. So, did you see what just happened across the table? Shannon Sharpe has learned his lesson about betting against Tom Brady. That's what that boiled down to.
He has
seen the light, and the light emanates from Foxborough, Massachusetts, because that's the only number 12 in the National Football League. That's the number
Aaron
12.
Rogers.
That is the Michael Jordan of the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers is LeBron James. I give you that. He's 3-6 in the finals, so that's kind of what Aaron is, because he's 5-6 in the postseason since his one and only Super Bowl. So they're on par. So
Aaron
Rob
Rodgers
Parker,
has never lost.
Never lost. Yeah, he's never lost a Super Bowl. He's played in one, grand total of one. It was like 10 years ago. So, Rob Parker, I ask you, will you please give me 13 points and the Patriots for a dinner? No diet, dude.
13,
for a dinner.
13 points.
Well, you said they're going to win by 14, so wouldn't I deserve 13?
13 points.
For a dinner. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just getting deals done today.
You like playing for dinner.
No. I'm going to stick by if I believe it. I think Tom Brady's about to have one of those clunkers. And this could be it against this defense. He has them once in a while, Shannon.
Rob's point, they are in shambles. That they were starting last week some white guy at running back named Rex Burkhead. Who starts a white guy at running back anymore? I know there's that kid in Carolina that you played with his father. But that's not just some white kid. Yeah. That kid could
well,
fly.
Well, Detroit started one Zach Zinner. They started
Zach Zinner.
How'd that work out for
you? Not good.
Not too well. So it's Rex Burkhead who's now in concussion protocol because Jeremy Hill, the 1A running back, tore his ACL in week one. He's gone. And to Rob's point, they're so desperate at receiver, they go out and sign Corey Coleman on Monday, who got dumped by the Browns and cut by the Bills, who lost 47-3 on opening day.
They're not that
Baltimore.
Desperate, because guess who they didn't sign at wide receiver?
Dez Bryant. Oh. Right? Okay. But then who's Benny Fowler?
Benny played for the Broncos.
Didn't they win the Super Bowl? That was the
he called Peyton Manning last pass.
He did. He's from Michigan State.
He's pretty good, actually. But my point is, are those two guys going to pick up the intricate Patriot offense by Sunday?
No.
Are they going to be any factor in this game?
No,
they are not. So all of a sudden, the revenge factor and motivation is with Jacksonville. They were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Tom Brady's got 12 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand, and he throws for 138 yards in the fourth quarter. But guess who he was throwing to? He threw to Danny Amendola, and he threw to little Deion Lewis, and he threw to Brandon Cooks. None of those three are with the Patriots anymore, right? So his top three receivers in that game, gone, right?
Yeah. And Edelman.
And Edelman's gone. So what do you do? And by the way, I hate to point this out to you, Rob Gronkowski was gone for the whole second half of that game. So I don't know how Tom Brady pulled that off without the guy who Shannon says Gronk made Tom Brady. But again, how did Tom Brady throw for? Think how many yards that is against the Saxonville defense. 138 in the fourth quarter.
Didn't Jalen Ramsey say they got conservative on both sides of the ball?
I don't know what happened.
You do know what they happened.
Offensively, it was ridiculous.
They got Brady'd. That's what happened.
Is that what it was?
They got Brady'd. But a lot of people get Brady'd. It's no shame.
Billy so after did. All of that, yeah. you still think I, that
I'm
they're going to win.
I'm just saying, there's one guy whose cape you don't tug on, and Jalen Ramsey has tugged on his cape because he says, if you put me on Gronk, that he will have a very bad game. So now Tom Brady's sitting at home watching tape saying, I'll get him. I'll figure out one way to get him. And Tom Brady said yesterday, now we get to go find out what we are made of. Mm-hmm. It's a great challenge. This is by far their hardest game because they're going to get Green Bay and Kansas City and Minnesota at home, and they have to go to Pittsburgh late in the year. But you know what happens every time Tom Brady goes to Pittsburgh? He's 6-2 lifetime. He's 11-2 lifetime against the Steelers. So I think he'll be okay.
But Jalen Ramsey played Tom Brady the ultimate compliment. He said, hell, Tom Brady could make me an all-pro wide receiver.
He did.
So, I mean, he should – he just said –
but he disrespected his guy.
Who, Gronk?
Yeah.
Well, what if he neutralizes Gronk and then you look around the rest?
He probably will for most of the game.
That's what I'm saying.
No, he probably will. And then who else is it?
If I'm Jacksonville, why wouldn't you – put your best guy on him.
But you don't just have one cornerback. You got two of the better cornerbacks, if not in the top five in the league.
So what are we going to do about Blake Bortles? You ain't want to talk about him.
No, I what did I mention? I told you that that was the reason that they didn't get it done in the NFC Championship game, because there was a couple of times when they had third down plays where they needed that first down and he couldn't get there.
Right.
I don't know. I just think playing at home, if they can neutralize Brady and keep the score down, when I say 14 points, it might be 24 to 10 or something, or 17-3.
Well, yeah, right? That works.
17-3.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're saying Brady only will get 3 10-point huh?
He might. Well, the Giants only got, they had a running back with 100 and a receiver with 100, and they got one touchdown.
And
Eli is Brady now.
Well, I mean, they're not that. But let's put it this way. Eli has beaten Brady twice.
Yeah.
So when you talk about, right, GOAT thing.
You had an afro. You had a box. The last time Eli beat Tom Brady, you had an afro.
Skip, did you ever have an afro?
I did. When I was in fourth grade.
Oh, in fourth grade.
Fourth grade, I had a Rodney Allen Rippey afro.
Really?
You got a fade.
Remember who that is?
No.
Yeah, I got a fade.
Huh. Look at him, Skip. So that's your man.
You don't claim me?
No, because you up there talking about the back. They're going to get beat by 14 points. When was the last time a Tom Brady-led team got beat by 14?
Opening night last year.
Yeah. They got crushed opening night last year at home.
But it took, think about the historic performance. That was the most points that a Bill Belichick defense had ever given up next to the Super Bowl. I think they gave up 538 to 534.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very. You're talking about anomaly games, but it's just like, okay, where's Tyreek Hill for the Jags? Where's Kareem Hunt? Because Leonard Fournette is nursing a hamstring injury.
Well, that's the part that does. If they had him, I would obviously feel like it would be even better, because that's what they do differently.
This might be a tale of Leonard Fournette's career, because we saw this a lot in college, Skip. He stayed nicked up. Yeah. He stayed nicked up his rookie year, and now here we are in week two. He's already nicked again. So this might be the story of Leonard Fournette's career.
If the Patriots lose this game, and if you're the Jags, and you don't have Fournette, right? Like, where would you?
Well, you feel good. I mean, you can say all you want to, oh, we can beat this team. But until you actually do it, you don't really believe you can beat this team. Mm. Because in pro sports, it's not about beliefs.
No,
it's about win and losing.
But if you can, I always say what I say. Pro sports has a short menu. Yeah,
that's
wins
my restaurant.
And losses.
That's my restaurant.
There's no doubt about it.
When I opened that pop-up shop in Minnesota, what I serve? Hot ales or hot dubs?
You gave Tom Brady a private room in your restaurant because he had just set the playoff record for yards thrown.
That's
505 yards. He put up 33
points. That's why I gave him a great table center. So everybody can see him eat them Juicy Lucy's with that L, because he took an L, Skip Baylor. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles is the best player, best quarterback in the NFL.
Bill Belichick took an L in that game. He gave up 41 to Nick Foles? That's embarrassing. It's humiliating.
It's embarrassing that you would say that.
Huh?
Because think about it, Skip. Hold on. In the last four meaningful postseason ball games, three Super Bowls and the AFC Championship game, that defense only gave up 8 points. Mm-hmm. 8 points, Skip. Nine points, Skip Bayless. Think about that. They shut out the Atlanta Falcons in fourth quarter and overtime. They shut out Seattle. They shut out Jacksonville.
No doubt.
But now, all of a sudden, one time, Coach Belichick has an off game. Oh, he's terrible.
An off game?
No, but Nick Foles had the game of his life. He made every throw in that game.
Every.
Skip. You got to admit that. He outplayed Tom Brady in that game.
Head.
Not yards. I'm talking about, and he also caught the pass that Tom Brady couldn't catch.
Malcolm Butler had the nightmare of his life because he had to watch the whole thing from the sideline because he didn't even get in the game. Because Bill Belichick got his wrist slapped by the owner who forced him to trade Jimmy Garoppolo and keep Tom Brady. So he said, okay, watch this. I won't play Malcolm Butler. I'll give up 41.
So in other words, you're saying Coach Belichick sabotaged.
I think that's what happened. That's what
I think. Can you believe that, Rob?
He sabotaged it so that Belichick wouldn't win another Super Bowl?
He wanted to make sure the quarterback didn't.
Tom Brady didn't win one?
How can Tom Brady play much better than that?
He could. By not fumbling the ball with two minutes to go. And catching a pass.
Do you
remember that
overthrown.
Pass, Skip?
Shannon Sharp couldn't have caught that ball.
Straight
over his head.
That's a low blow.
You know what, Skip Bayless? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Straight over your head?
Yeah.
I
give you that, Skip. That is the most difficult ball because you lose sight. Because think about it. The ball comes over. Look at your eyes.
Yeah. But Nick Foles caught his pass.
Saw that.
But it was sideways.
Okay. What about the one he caught Thursday night against Atlanta?
That wasn't.
He caught this like this here.
Nick Foles was a high school basketball star.
Tom Brady was a high school baseball star.
Well, he was. Catcher.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, was he a catcher?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Well, I can't tell. Yeah. I can't tell what they do. Handing them, put the ball in the
all
corner.
I know,
that was an E2.
All I know is I've got Tom Brady plus 13 points at Jacksonville.
You're wrong.
I'm okay.
And then how does this dinner thing work? When we go right away?
See,
or?
We used to bet dinners until I got up to like 14. Okay. And then Rob paid me off when he came to L.A. in one night. Mm. He bought one dinner at a very expensive restaurant.
And if I lose this one, we'll go to the Residence Inn and have the 6 p.m. meal.
Oh,
the
that's
lobby.
So nice. What
yeah,
a
he
nice
got
offer.
Me. Okay, he got well, then I'm going to get that one.
300 wings and a pair of Jordans.
And a pair of Jordans.
Rob, thank you.
I'm good at
best
this.
Best of luck. Best of luck. No mercy. We have another big day of college football Saturday on FS1 and the Big Ten Network. First, Kent State heads to Happy Valley to take on number 11 Penn State at 11:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Plus, SMU battles number 19 Michigan at the Big House on the Big Ten Network. Jalen Ramsey took on Odell Beckham Jr. last week, and it won't get any easier this Sunday against Rob Gronkowski. The last time Gronk saw Ramsey was in last year's AFC Championship game. Gronk only had one catch and then had to leave the game in the second quarter with a head injury. Before this season started, Ramsey told ESPN the magazine that he didn't think Gronk was good. Yesterday, Gronk responded. Take a listen.
There can always be talking going back and forth, tempers getting heated up and everything. You just got to keep your cool. And, I mean, I don't see any benefit to get a 15-yard penalty out on the field because you lose your cool. And so you just got to keep your cool and keep your head on straight.
Shannon, who will win this matchup?
I think I'm going to take Ramsey, but a lot is predicated on that front four. A lot of times when you see a one-on-one matchup, Skip, we automatically think it's just between those two guys. But one guy's offensive line, the other guy's defensive line need to do their job in order for you to do your job. The thing is, you can't give Gronk a steady diet of anything. You can't say, I'm just going to press him the entire game. Excuse me. You need to press him some. Mm-hmm. You need to play off some. You can't play off all the time because Tom Brady just raise up, throw him the ball, and then you got heck on your hands trying to bring that big guy down. We could feather, or what we call shadowing, line up in a press position. Just don't let him get his hands on you so he can grab you and throw you around. But just stay, you know, shadowing. You know, every once in a while, have the linebacker run up underneath him. Double him up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give Tom Brady a steady diet of, okay, this is the way they're going to play Gronk, he'll pick you apart. Mm-hmm. So you have to do a lot of different things. And the thing is, we've seen Gronk lose his cool. We saw it against Buffalo, Skip.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The guy held him, got an interception. Gronk didn't like it because he had felt he had been being held all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Officials weren't calling it. And he lashed out, hit the guy, and he ended up getting suspended.
And what position did that guy play?
Corner.
Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
First-round pick, late first round.
So,
bless you.
The thing is with Gronk, I don't think Gronk is much of a talker. Mm. And this is what I always tell guys. You got to be true to who you are. If you talk, keep it going.
Yeah.
If you don't, don't get into a ball game with a talker and feel you've got to try and out-talk him. Mm. His game is predicated on that. Some guys, Skip, can play and talk. Some guys can just talk. Some guys just play. Pick your lane, stay in there, keep it moving. And if Gronk, if this is not who you are talking back and forth, if you don't talk back and forth, don't get caught up in what Jalen Ramsey's saying, because Jalen's going to talk.
Yeah.
That's what these guys from Florida State, a lot of these guys from Florida State, that's what they do.
Mm.
Now, Time wasn't much of a talker. But when,
that is true. He didn't talk.
But nobody was talking to him either, because you was already going to
be talking about Deion Sanders. Yeah.
You didn't want these problems.
No.
You didn't want that smoke. So, for me, I think Jalen Ramsey will get the better of this matchup. And plus, we get to see his theory put to the test. He says the analytics show
that's what he said.
That when the corners cover Rob Gronkowski, he's next to nothing.
Yeah. He said he has, quote unquote, a very bad game.
Okay.
Yikes.
So now Jalen Ramsey thinks he's one of the top two or three corners in all of football. He gets to go against Rob Gronkowski, the guy that he says that when you put a cornerback on him, doesn't do very much.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a top three corner going against the best tight end in all of football. We get an opportunity to see.
Mm.
You get to put the data to the test, Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be watching.
Mm.
I'm going to be watching that game.
World will be watching.
No, I got to watch that game real close because, you know, one guy plays the position that I play. I know that position very well.
Mm. Interesting. So I'm going to give, at least on Thursday, Jalen Ramsey the edge in this because I have nothing but respect for him as a football player because he just might be the best corner in pro football.
Mm. Okay.
He's big, strong, fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger than Deion.
Oh, yeah.
And he is capable of backing his trash talk up in this case. And I think mostly he will have the advantage in this matchup. I don't know how many times he'll actually get him single, but I think a bunch.
Right.
And I think he will mostly back it up. So I believe he spoke the truth about their analytics. I just didn't love it that he spoke it.
Right.
Because
interesting.
When you go all the way to he has very bad games, that's a little exaggeration.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure Gronkowski ever has a really bad game. Right. Really, he was saying in general, anytime a corner's been on him, he's had a really bad game.
Especially not when he finishes the game healthy. Maybe if he gets Nick skipped.
So, as you know, there's something to letting sleeping dogs lie. There's something to leaving it unsaid. If you think you have an advantage, don't reveal it.
Yeah.
Don't let them try to fix it, right?
Correct.
Because as we speak, Tom Brady's trying to fix it. He's trying to plug that leak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That hole. And to me, this is sort of today's kids. Everybody's look at me. Everybody's on social media. But to me, Jalen Ramsey is trying to do exactly what Richard Sherman did about, I don't know, was it 6, 7 years ago? Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman brilliantly tried to speak himself into national existence, right? Mm-hmm. Because he just picked out all the biggest targets and he went after them. Mm-hmm. And he was very good at it, but he was very selective because he made sure he would go after them after they had played. You know, there wasn't a lot of pre-stuff.
Correct.
Jalen's the opposite. Jalen's taking on the biggest targets in his sport, mostly quarterbacks and Gronkowski. And now he's got to go back it up because it's future. It's coming back at him. And I think he loves it because he's talked his way onto magazine covers, right? Has he not become a household NFL name that he was not?
He's the go-to guy when you want information.
Right? Well, because he does speak a lot of truth.
Mm-hmm. He's one for one now, Skip, because what do you say about Eli?
Oof.
So he's one for one right now.
So, Rob Gronkowski is volatile, man. I mean, he comes off as this happy-go-lucky galoot in these interviews, but you know he's got one loose screw because we saw it against Tre'Davious White because he lost it, man.
Yeah, he did.
Just for a second, he lost it. That was a corner covering him.
Right.
The corner grabbed him and held him and pushed him and, you know, it was a foul on the play.
Yeah.
So he just went over the edge because it's a corner. And so he's going to get a lot of corner right in his face, a lot of talk right in his face. So the difference between Rob Gronkowski and his quarterback is Gronk has a little trouble channeling his rage because you have to channel it into your performance. The quarterback, on the other hand, that's one cape you don't tug on. That's one cage you do not rattle because he has mastered the art of channeling rage, which is why I call him Psycho Tom. He doesn't look like Psycho Tom. He certainly doesn't come across as Psycho Tom in any interview.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he will lose it on the field in a good way.
Right.
And if by chance he does get Gronk loose for a touchdown, I promise you the first guy in the end zone to congratulate Gronk and headbutt him will be number 12. Mm. And he will also be the first guy to turn to Jalen Ramsey and tell him all about it, happened.
I hope Gronk doesn't give him a concussion headbutt him because they're going to be very, very happy. Skip, you remember in the Super Bowl and that kneel down situation, Gronk got into it with some of the Seattle, and Gronk was like, everybody else was throwing punches. I was like, what the hell? I might as well start throwing punches also.
That's true.
But the thing is, Skip, is that the ultimate sign of respect, and I felt it as an insult if a team didn't put their best cover guy on me.
Yeah.
So for them to bring Jalen Ramsey and say, to Gronk, we have the utmost respect for you. We're going to give you our best. And that is Jalen Ramsey. Gronk will view that as a sign of respect. He will be on his best behavior. You better believe you're going to get the best Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. So what you thought you saw last week against the Houston Texans, you'll get even a better version of that this week against Jalen Ramsey. Now, Tom, when you got that guy throwing you the ball, he's going to make sure. He's going to give him some opportunities.
He will try.
Yes.
He will try to figure it out before the game, and he will try to execute. Even if he just gets him one good time.
Yes.
That's what Tom Brady lives for. That's what he's playing for now.
And you know what? Hey, we're going to make you fight through some picks. Mm-hmm. They might even stack Rob Gronkowski. They'll put him in motion. Because when you put the guy in motion, Skip, and you see Jalen Ramsey, I know his man. So Tom Brady wants...
You're right. They will do that.
Tom Brady wants as much information pre-snap as he can possibly get.
Yep.
And the more information you give him, the more likely he's going to bust you up. So, Jalen, you got your hands full, bro. You said that when you put a corner on Rob Gronkowski, he has very bad games. Mm. Now, bro, you better not have no bad games.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying, Jalen, don't have no bad games because I got to come here on Monday, and I got to tell it.
Mm.
I got to tell it.
But you have all the information. Not once have you ever busted. I don't know.
Skip,
I don't get it.
That hashtag be trending. Bust Skip up. Be trending,
people
David.
People are laughing.
No, they're not. Yeah. They already know
it
I
should
get
be hashtag crack Skip up because it makes me laugh, right?
No, that's good.
You can start using that on Instagram.
No.
You know, you're
what, crack
busy
me
on
up?
Well, just mm-hmm hashtags. You have to use those for Instagram.
You do? I don't.
Yeah,
I've never used
later
a hashtag in my life.
Yeah, no.
There's
you
a
had
skill
one
to
debate
it
against me
I
in your
used
life.
I did one on Hazel. I used National Dog Day hashtag.
That's very cool. No mercy. Drew Brees and the Saints host Tyrod Taylor and the Browns Sunday on Fox, and Baker Mayfield will likely be watching from the sidelines. Baker has been compared to Brees because of their physical stature, but Brees said he was impressed by Baker's college career and gave him more praise yesterday. Take a listen.
I think he can be a lot better than me. Man, he's got all the tools, you know. He's more athletic. He probably can run around better. He's got a stronger arm, you know. He's got all the tools. Listen, I'll give Baker Mayfield advice if he asks for it. Other than that, I'm just focusing on my job.
Shannon, do you think Brees actually believes this?
Hell no. You know what I would?
Nice language.
You know what, Skip Bayless? I would not want to be a quarterback. You know why? Because you have to lie too much.
Mm.
Oh, that's a great team. Lie. Mm. Oh, they're so well coached. Mm. BS.
Mm.
Oh, that player, he's a heck of a player. Mm. Bull jive.
Mm.
There's no way I could do it, Skip. Skip Bayless, we know, first of all, we didn't even know Drew Brees was going to be Drew Brees. I remember I was in Denver when Drew Brees was there, and guess what they got?
You mean in San Diego?
In San Diego.
Yeah, okay.
You know what they got, Skip? They got the number one overall draft pick under Drew Brees' watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they traded that Eli Manning and took Philip and got Philip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
But Drew Brees wasn't going to be Drew Brees.
He's so, the first pick in the second round.
First pick in the second round.
All right.
No. I'm saying when Drew Brees was the quarterback in San Diego.
I know. I got it.
Skip. Does Drew understand what he's saying?
Yep.
When Drew Brees retires, he's going to be somewhere upwards of 75,000 passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees has more 5,000 yards passing season than the rest of the league has combined.
Okay.
He's going to be over 550, maybe close to 600 touchdown passes if he plays another 2 to 3 years. Really? So what are you willing? I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to do it like this, like they do in Vegas. I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
That Baker Mayfield numbers will be a Drew Brees. I'm taking the under. Mm. You can have the, I tell you what. You know what, Skip Bayless? I'm going to take the under. I give you the over plus 2,000. Mm.
You doing the gambling
show? Yeah, I'm doing the gambling show.
Get ready.
Look, I get it. And what's he supposed to say? Oh, you're going to suck. Quarterback is really a position that you have to be. Normally, you'd have to be presidential. Say the right things at all times. You have to be complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a good player. Oh, that's a great team. Oh, they're well coached.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a heck of a player. You have to do those things, Skip. Mm-hmm. But when he engages in such hyperbole, it's just beyond me to believe that Drew Brees believes that somehow Baker Mayfield is going to have 3,000, 4,000. 5,000-yard passing season, 75,000 yards, over 550 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, we don't even believe that. You don't even believe that.
Hmm.
Can Baker be good? Sure. But you're talking about numbers that what if Drew Brees goes to Miami and he's Coach Saban?
That's a good
point.
Is he
throwing the ball like he's
nope
doing it?
Mm-mm.
He went to an ideal situation
he
with
did
Sean Payton.
All-time ideal. Yep.
Offensive mind, imagination mm-hmm is beyond
no
him.
He likes to throw it all over the lot.
So many things.
Yep.
And a lot of times, Skip, so many things mm-hmm have to go well
yep
for you to have the type of success that you see Drew Brees has had.
That is correct.
And to just assume because, well, he had a great college career. Well, he's more athletic than me. His arm strength is more than mm-hmm mine. He can throw. He can run around and throw the ball. That all those things, yeah, they're nice and dandy. But it really, because you look at some of the best quarterbacks, Peyton Manning can't move a lick. Tom Brady can't move a lick. Dan Marino couldn't move a lick. And they're some of the all-time greats. So all that athleticism, why it's nice to have,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't necessarily correlate, especially when it plays mm-hmm that position. So I
remember feel, that the next time you're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. But we've
just
seen it.
Just point of order.
Okay. But yeah, we've seen it correlate.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen 316 mm-hmm touchdowns mm-hmm to 78 interceptions. Mm-hmm. That's a 4-to-1 touchdown to interception mm-hmm ratio. We've seen him throw the ball from in and mm-hmm out of the pocket mm-hmm equally as proficient mm-hmm as anybody just standing flat-footed. So we know that correlates, Skip Bayless.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not Aaron. See, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to lure me out, but I'm not going to do it. We're back to Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable in saying that Baker Mayfield's career is not going to be comparable to Drew Brees.
Okay. So, I will agree with your overall premise. Drew was laying it on a little too thick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the truth is, Tom Brady isn't a lot better than Drew Brees, right? So it's hard to believe that Baker Mayfield will ever be a lot better than Drew Brees because Baker Mayfield will never, ever, ever be better than Tom Brady, right?
Right.
So I give you that. And it's also possible because the Browns are playing at the Saints on Sunday that Drew was sort of sticking a little knife into the Browns about their quarterback controversy, and he was sort of suggesting, gee, I love this kid, and he ain't even starting. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's sort of in my camp on this, like, hey, Hugh, hey, John Dorsey, what are you guys doing? You've got this kid, and you're not even playing
him? No, because he's not ready yet.
Huh? Oh, so he's
not ready.
Yeah,
he's Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold ready.
Oh, okay, so Sam Darnold's
ready.
Now Josh Allen's ready in Buffalo, but Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick.
But look what Josh Allen was behind in Buffalo.
Huh, okay. Well, I don't know. So, now let's go back to what Drew said, and let's analyze his breakdown of Baker Mayfield line by line, and let's see how it stacks up. He says he's more athletic. He can probably run around a lot better than I can. Is that true?
True.
True. He is. And Drew Brees is pretty athletic. Mm. He can move a little bit.
A little bit.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
Both of them were former really good baseball players in high school, but I will give him this. I think Baker's a little more overall athletic, and he's definitely a little more elusive in the pocket, and he's probably a little faster than Drew Brees, who never really tries to run down the field at all anyway.
I'll give you that.
So we're going there. And then he says he's definitely has a stronger arm than I do. A little stronger, not a whole lot stronger, but he's got a whip of an arm and a quick release. So I'm going to give Drew that point. I think Baker's arm is a little stronger than Drew's.
I'll give you that
too. That's two for two. And then we go to, I'm really impressed with the way he plays the game. I think he's a great competitor. Listen, nobody competes harder than Baker Mayfield. Sometimes he competes over the edge a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. He sort of loses it. He's got a little bit of that psycho Tom thing going that Tom Brady has, except Tom can sort of channel his and funnel his anger into the right direction, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you that because Drew will compete, but you don't really see it. He'll just compete by making big throw after big throw, and he can be very clutch in fourth quarters. Right. So can Baker Mayfield. So as a competitor, just on overall body language and charisma and electricity and voltage, I think Baker eventually will generate a little more of all of the above than Drew Brees generates. Hmm. And I'm going to remind you that I know it was a break back out year for Drew Brees last year, but they had missed the playoffs three straight years before that.
Right.
So let's not put him, you know, on the highest pedestal.
Okay. Yeah, but he's still throwing for 5,000 yards, Skip.
And I also, even though he didn't go into detail on this, I also think when he's saying, I'm impressed with the way he plays the game, Baker Mayfield has a high QB IQ. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
He does study tape. He does know it and see it, and he and Lincoln Riley were such a great tandem because they could see it and feel it before it even happened. They could see what the defense is going to do, and I think he's being underestimated. I think John Dorsey saw that and said, I got to get this kid because he will be able to run my offense as a coach on the field before it's all said and done. So that's 4 for 4 on Drew Brees. And then he goes into, we call it the 6 foot and under club. So he has sort of an affinity. They're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
And Baker measured at 6'5" at the combine. So does he still qualify for the 6 feet and under? He probably does. So again, I get that. But if you add all that up, could he be better than Drew Brees?
No.
A little better? Yes, he could. Yes, he could. So all those attributes add up to maybe.
Skip, they put man on the moon.
Yeah.
So anything is possible.
Yeah.
But let's deal with possible and likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
They put man on the moon. That's possible.
Mm.
What's the likelihood of that happening?
Mm.
Lay any amount of something that means something to you.
Mm.
Would you be willing to put that down?
Mm.
Of course not.
Mm.
So, hey, but you notice how he said it, Jill. Drew Brees said, hey, he could be better than me. That's like saying, oh, man, that is a funny guy. You're like, I hate his guts.
Mm.
That's what it means, Skip Bayless. Mm. We know how this goes.
Okay, so remember, on Kindred Spirits, they're both from the Austin, Texas area.
Okay.
And each of them won a state Texas high school football championship, one for Austin Westlake, one for Austin Travis. But that's kind of hard to do.
Oh, yeah,
Texas is a big football state.
Yeah.
So they each won a state championship in high school, and then each was completely unrecruited after that. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees did get scholarship offers from Purdue and Kentucky. So all those Texas schools, Texas and Texas A&M and all of them, all of that whole area, Oklahoma you can throw in, you can throw in the, some of the SEC. Nobody recruited Drew Brees except for Kentucky and Purdue, and he winds up at Purdue, and he's the first pick in the second round. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield won a state high school football championship and was completely unrecruited. And had to walk on at Texas Tech, and then he had to walk on again at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So you don't think they're out of the same mold?
Oh, yeah.
So you don't think Drew has a little affinity there, like he sees himself in Baker and vice versa?
Hey, let me ask you a question. If you were to ask Drew Brees his rookie year, say, Drew, okay, these are going to be your numbers. You think Drew Brees would believe that? Who believed that? I mean, as great as Peyton, and we thought Peyton was going to be, but nobody saw five MVPs. Nobody saw what these guys are able to accomplish, not Skip Bayless.
Nope.
I mean, so for Baker, basically you're going to say, well, Baker, because you and I agreed on this. In order for Andrew Luck to really replace Peyton Manning, he's going to have to get to two or three Super Bowls and win them.
Yep.
He's going to have to get three or four MVPs in order for him to replace and replicate mm-hmm. what Peyton did mm-hmm. because you made this decision. In order for Baker Mayfield to be, let's just say, equal to. Mm-hmm. When you look at Drew Brees' body of work, and I agree with you, Skip, when you look at it, you look at his numbers, you're like, huh? These numbers, he's going to pass Peyton Manning this year in yardage. Mm-hmm. Next year, he's going to pass Peyton Manning in touchdown passes. He plays, let's just say for conservative, he plays this year, next year. He's going to be 560, 570 touchdown passes, mm-hmm. which is unheard of.
Okay. So, now to your conclusive point, which was Drew Brees got really lucky. He was blessed to play for one Sean Payton, who at times I think is one of the top two or three play callers in pro football.
Absolutely.
But he can get a little wacky because he will try anything at any time, and he wants Drew Brees to take his shots down
the
field.
He's the onside kick in a Super Bowl at the start to half.
I know. So, was Drew Brees in the right place at the most right time you could ever be? He was.
Don't forget that shoulder, Skip. They said he had a 10-20% chance of ever playing again.
All right.
So after that shoulder surgery, he comes back and throws for 60,000 yards.
All right. So now my guy, Baker Mayfield, and I'm obviously a fan because I'm an OU fan, and I believe in the kid. I think he's going to be really good. But he has to get an opportunity to be really good. And I am baffled by what Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey are doing. And I'm still convinced they're trying to buy themselves 1 year of honeymoon time to keep Baker on the sidelines, on ice, so the Baker Mayfield era doesn't start until game one next year.
No.
Well, that's what it smacks of. So I have to watch Sam Darnold the other night.
Oh, that hurt.
Well, it did. It hurt because do you realize what happened? So he opens up with one bad idea, pick six interception. Yeah. But he goes to the bench, and Josh McCown, his big brother, comes over and puts an arm around him. And Todd Bowles is saying, don't worry about it. And they're all just saying, don't worry, because the job has been handed to him. He knew he's okay.
Yeah.
There's no threat. There's no risk that Josh McCown is going in for the second series because Josh McCown has accepted he is the backup and the mentor at age 39, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Baker Mayfield has to sit through a scene on Hard Knocks that looks staged to me, in which he is called into Hugh Jackson's office to be told, guess what? Way to go, kid. You won the backup quarterback job over Drew Stanton, who's also in the meeting. I just want you to know, Baker, you beat him out.
Yeah.
You beat out Drew Stanton. You're the first pick in the draft. You beat him out. You're the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. You beat him out. You had 43 touchdown passes to only 6 interceptions last year at Oklahoma and led the nation in QBR the last 2 years. But you beat out Drew Stanton for the backup quarterback. This is a scene on Hard Knocks. I felt like they had rehearsed it because it's so bad. It's so lame. It's so unbelievable.
Well, I mean,
that's what he had to sit through.
But Josh McCown and Sam Darnold look like they should be model for hair products.
Okay, well,
you see them hair? You see them hair? What?
You envious?
Yes, I did.
No, I got a hair full of hair, Skip.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I keep it low.
I can't see it.
I keep it low.
Okay.
My grandfather would be proud of me.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, he didn't want it high.
No.
Okay.
I got the same haircut. 4 years old. I had this haircut since 1972.
It's 1972? How much does that haircut cost?
$125 a week.
Really?
Per cut.
Per cut?
I get 2 a week.
Wow.
It's kind of expensive.
Yeah,
it's like $125 for 3 minutes, right?
No, it takes a long time, like an hour and a half.
It takes an hour?
Hour and a half.
Sculpt it?
Yep. Got to get it right.
Okay.
Well, you look nice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jenny. See?
That's still expensive.
You're a hater, Skip.
I'm not a hater.
I don't spend that much on my hair.
You don't spend that much, Jenny?
No. And I don't get them twice a week.
Oh, I got to get right. Got to stay fresh.
Well, Drew Brees just sent a message to Hugh Jackson. Play the kid.
No.
Just play the kid.
Well, when he beats out Tyrod Taylor, he can play. Mm-hmm, yeah. But I tell you what, Tyrod has another game like he had Sunday.
Yeah, no.
Baker Mayfield going to be starting next week.
Well, Drew Brees better hope that Tyrod has that game.
Well, that might be a Thursday night. I said Thursday night. I think they play Thursday
the next
night.
One?
Yeah, I think Cleveland plays Thursday night. Yeah. Brown Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
Oh!
Somebody just said in my ear, the Jets, and I think it was a Jets fan.
Interesting.
Sam Darnold goes, hey, Baker, you got the Heisman, but you're not starting like me because you're not good like me.
Yeah, I got the job, Baker. You don't have any job.
No mercy. Of that game, Aaron Rodgers was held out of practice yesterday so he could rehab what he's calling a knee sprain. He said he's feeling better, but his knee has been sore. Rodgers was asked if he had to practice this week in order to play against the Vikings, and he simply said no. Nope, doesn't need to. Shannon, will Rodgers play Sunday?
I don't believe he will, Skip. Nothing has changed for me from Sunday. They're not giving a whole lot of information. Basically, Aaron Rodgers said he has a knee sprain. And, Skip, I was trying to go back in my career. I was like, did I have something like this? Mm-hmm. And I remembered in 1994, opening day against San Diego, I sprained my knee. I missed the next game against the Jets.
Okay.
And I probably should have missed game two. I got fitted with a knee brace, and I tried to play, and they knew it. So they put the linebacker up over my head. I'm trying to get away, Skip. I had no side-to-side movement. And I probably should have missed two games. Came back in game four wearing a knee brace. But it wasn't until probably week 8, 9 that I felt comfortable. And even as I started to feel more comfortable, I wore the knee brace an extra 2 to 3 weeks. With that being said, Skip, he probably should not have come back in the game. But I'm glad he did because it gave us something to talk about. It gave us a little fodder for Monday because I don't know what we would have talked about had he not come back in the game. I don't know if I'd even come to work. So I needed a hero. We all need heroism in our lives at some point in time. But I wouldn't play him, Skip Bayless, because this is what I know about Mike Zimmer. Don't know him personally, but I know Deion swears by him. He will heat Aaron Rodgers up. And what I mean by heat him up, Skip Bayless, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about turning up the heat, that frying pan, he coming to get him because he can't move. And wounded animals get eaten first. The sick, the elderly, and the wounded. On the Serengeti, that's what get eaten first. And that's what the NFL is. That's the Serengeti. And you got predators, which is the defense.
Yep.
The prey, which is the offense. And the guys that can't move. The guys that are elderly, those are the guys that get devoured.
And Aaron Rodgers got devoured last year because he dared to leave the pocket. And what happened? That tissue paper collarbone that he has, Romo collarbone. There it went.
All I'm saying is this. I would not play.
Were they trying to heat him up last year? Sure they were.
Of course.
Yeah.
And they got him.
They got him.
So think about it. He's healthy. And they tracked him down. Can you imagine when you're on one leg?
Boy, poor Aaron.
Yeah,
I
man.
I don't know how he can even play pro football anymore. Must be increasingly fragile.
Skip, if you
paper mache?
Let me ask you a question. How many animals you see survive in the wild on one leg?
Do you think defenses try to heat Tom Brady up every week? Yep. Think Jackson will try? Saxonville will try to heat him up?
But Tom Brady,
they don't.
But see, Tom Brady can still dip. Tom Brady is not a mobile guy where he's trying
to. Pliable.
Will you stop saying that? But Tom Brady has what we call phone booth quickness. So in a small, confined area, you shuffle here, you shuffle there, and he'll get the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Tom Brady can protect himself, what he can do.
Yep. So I need to clue our audience into what game he is playing across the table for me, because you just want Aaron Rodgers, by not playing, to close your case on how hurt he was and how great he was last Sunday, right? So you don't want him to play this coming Sunday, which then would make his performance last Sunday night even more legendary, because that would close the case on he was really, really hurt.
He was.
I don't believe he was that hurt. And I think it's pretty clear he will play this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings in their biggest home game by far of the season. Mm-hmm. The game he is most paid to win, $33.5 million under his new deal. $33.5 million he's paid. And he's you want him to watch?
He's underpaid.
He's underpaid? Yeah. He is a little underpaid because he is the LeBron James of the National
Football League.
And LeBron's all the way up to $38 million. And what they have in common, Aaron and LeBron, is LeBron is the ultimate drama king. He goes melodramatic and exaggerates his injuries. And he limps around, and then he just crashes to the basket and knocks down five people.
Oh, you said he didn't have a fractured hand?
I don't know what he had. I don't know. He had to show us because he wore, what do you have, some kind of cast, soft cast?
Yeah, soft cast.
He wore his soft cast to his post-game press conference to just show everybody, this is how broken my hand was. Really? Just stop it.
You ain't say that when Tom Brady showed you how cut his thumb was.
Yeah, but he didn't show us during the game or after the game.
LeBron didn't show you during the game.
Waited a month.
No, he didn't.
Oh, come on. LeBron's cramping. He's dragging himself to the locker room. I don't know what he's doing. It's always something. It's something with Aaron. Aaron Rodgers will play on Sunday. He will. I'm predicting. He will limp in between every play. He'll limp back to the huddle. And he will increase the melodrama, and I think he will play well, and I do think he will finish the game.
No chance.
He's Aaron Rodgers. He's really good, as Mike Zimmer
said. He's great.
He walks on water. Yeah. He will play. Walks on water.
Close.
Well, there might have been a touch of sarcasm in there.
No.
He walks on water. He's playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, let's go back to what happened this past Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers said, and I quote him, that the doctor told him he couldn't hurt his knee any worse than it was hurt. So I told you the other day, I got to leap to one conclusion or the other. Either it was completely torn ligament where you just couldn't hurt it anymore because it's ruptured.
Well, if you tore a ligament, Skip, you can hurt other things because you need that stability.
Okay, but he said you couldn't hurt your knee any worse. Or my thought is that what I suspect is that he just wasn't hurt that bad. They couldn't find anything.
Skip.
So they said, you're going to be fine. Just go play. And he limps around. It got a little stiff and sore. But now we're back to grades. And I don't know what your grade was of the one whatever year that was. But grade one is stretched or slightly torn ligament. Mm-hmm. And that's grade one sprain.
Uh-huh.
So Aaron said he had a sprain.
Yes.
Grade two is a lot. That's where you got a significant tear. It's starting to tear, but it's not completely ruptured.
I had that in the Super Bowl.
All right. So I don't think Aaron has that, or we wouldn't have this discussion, because when that happens to a quarterback, it's usually a minimum of 4 weeks. And there's no way a veteran team doctor like Green Bay's would even let him go back out in the second half against Chicago. So is it possible he has a grade one, slightly torn? I don't even think he'd let him go with that because he is the franchise quarterback.
I mean,
and remember, he had been terrorized by Khalil Mack in the first half. He was hunting.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Skip. He feels comfortable, and maybe had he not gotten that big contract extension, a lot of times when guys get paid, they feel somewhat obligated because they have the security that if something happens, I'm taken care of. And he went out there knowing that his team knowing they have no chance, zero, less than zero, with Kaiser at quarterback of winning this game. Mm-hmm. You know that. I know that.
Yep.
So he had to go. He didn't have to, but he wanted to go back in. And I'm afraid that had they blitzed him a couple of times, they might have could have got him up out of there.
Mm.
But give them credit. They sped the tempo up, tired those linemen out,
mm-hmm.
and then they started getting further and further down the field. He started making plays. They got more and more confident.
Mm.
But I believe Aaron Rodgers is hurt. I would not play Aaron Rodgers. I would always err on the side of caution with this guy.
Mm.
For the simple fact is, without him, you got zero chance. Mm. Less than zero.
That is correct.
Of going to the
playoffs. I agree with that, which is why if I'm a teammate of Aaron Rodgers and he played last Sunday night and played brilliantly and he opts not to play against Minnesota, I'm not happy with that.
I'm
saying, what's that about? He makes $33.5 million and we're playing the Vikings. It's our biggest game of the year at home for sure. It's a game we really need to win.
It's game 12,
it's your division rival. It's the team most people pick to beat you in the division, right? It's Jenny's Vikings.
But guess what?
Right?
We get them in our building. We get them in our building in 2 months. So we can return the favor.
Mm.
All we just got to do is get Aaron healthy. We're going to be there.
This is at Lambeau.
Is that Lambeau?
Yeah, this one's at Lambeau.
Oh,
so this is the biggest home game. This is it.
Mm-mm.
You can't return any favors in Minneapolis, right?
You beat us at home.
You'll get the favor returned right on your head.
No.
Yeah.
Skip. Why would you? See, I know what you want.
I don't want anything. I'm just saying what I see. I know what it, 2 + 2 equals he's going to play. That's what he's
I would not
did
play
him. Did you see his response yesterday? Somebody asked him, how do you feel Deshaun Kizer will do if you can't go? And he said, I haven't even thought of that. Yeah. Well, he hasn't thought about it because he's going to play.
He's thought about it. Because guess what? When he was in the locker room, looking at the TV, watching Deshaun Kizer get the ball taken out of his hands, he was
literally
watching.
Taken out of his hands.
And when he threw that pick six, and plus, he saw Deshaun Kizer last year when he threw 22 interceptions.
He was horrible.
And didn't win any games. So he knows the likelihood of Deshaun Kizer beating any team in the NFL. Hell, Deshaun Kizer probably couldn't even beat a college team right now. So Aaron Rodgers knows.
And he knows the likelihood of what his teammates are going to think of Aaron Rodgers.
It doesn't matter what they think of you, Skip Bayless.
It does.
This is what they know. When he's in there, there's an 80, 90% chance we're going to win. And without him, it's less than zero.
Shannon, he's going to blow up your mythology that you're trying to create.
I'm worried about Mike Zimmer blowing him up.
Okay.
Because they're coming.
Well, if he leaves the pocket, they're coming.
No, they didn't. Well, he better be able to leave the pocket.
Nope. That's where he's at most risk against this team.
They're going to blow it up, Skip.
Serengeti, outside the pocket.
Must be willing to give up a big play, even a touchdown, to put a hat on Aaron Rodgers. Even if he just picks himself up off the dirt. How many times does he want to be? Man, I'm telling you, Skip, you don't want to fall. When you injured, you don't want no part of the ground. No, you don't want no parts of it.
Anthony Barr wants the other collarbone, right?
You know what?
He does.
Okay. You see? Yeah, I see what you're doing here. You keep on trying to put bad luck on the guy.
I'm knocking on wood for you.
No, you're not.
I don't wish injury on anybody.
You got your fingers crossed. I do not.
They're wide open.
Don't worry about it.
You just want him to be.
Aaron, take your time. You already did it.
Aaron,
take
make
your time.
Myth.
It's totally fine. Heal up.
Heal up.
You don't have to play against Minnesota. An unbiased opinion.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.